It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Emery. And the first thing I want to do is to thank all of you good folks who have written to me in the last few months. We have expanded America's Promise Radio substantially, and the only way we know whether it is worth all of the time and effort and money is if you write and tell us you are listening. So I do want to thank you for writing and telling others of the broadcast, and we will just continue thanking God for the opportunity to preach in the vineyard of the Lord of Hosts. I am going to continue replaying another part of that series of sermons on Jeremiah, a weeping prophet to a sinful nation, today in just a few moments. But first I want to offer our March packet of free literature for your study. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. This month, our packet will include an article on swine's flesh. The doctors have finally admitted that this certain so-called virus is similar to or may even be carried by pigs, and then humans are infected and develop this disease which the doctors call flu. This is very nearly the same virus that killed 500,000 Americans about 50 years ago and killed an estimated 20 million people worldwide in a very short time, all originally coming from pigs, from swine. I can remember my father telling about that flu epidemic. He was in the Army at the time and stationed at Fort Leonard Wood. My dad said the soldiers were dying so fast, and so many of the rest of the soldiers and medical personnel were so ill that they could not take care of the bodies, and since it was winter time, they laid the dead soldiers outside and let them freeze until they could get caskets built and prepare them for burial. He said they had rows of bodies outside the medical building like so many logs, frozen stiff in the Kansas winter. No one knew how to treat the disease. All they knew was that millions were ill, and tens of thousands were dying every week from it. More soldiers died of that so-called flu than were killed in battle or died of all other causes in World War I. Later, of course, they did find the disease was carried by pigs, but seemingly no one thought of searching God's Word for an answer on how to eliminate or prevent such disasters, and now we are getting a little taste of it again. If you will turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, I am going to read one verse of God's law, which, if obeyed in America, would have eliminated such a thing, and by the way, would eliminate a lot of other diseases also. Here it is in chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, verse 8. If you don't have your Bible, maybe you would like to write this down. I'm going to read verse 8 of Deuteronomy 14 to give God's way of preventing our people from getting diseases from pigs. Quote, "And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass." Thousands of people are dying in America right now. Thousands more may die. Millions may be infected. Tens of thousands may have their lives shortened from the effects of these diseases carried by pigs, and we haven't got enough sense to listen to the God who made all of us. And yes, he made the pigs also, as he tells us how dangerous it is for his people to even touch the dead bodies of the pig, to say nothing of eating it. Well, anyway, in the March free packet of literature from America's Promise, we have an article titled "Swine's Flesh as Food, Some Wrong Interpretations Corrected." It has much more than that one verse of scripture. We've reprinted information on other diseases given to man by the pig, such as salmonellosis, undulant fever, listeriosis, anthrax, tuberculosis, and a few more, plus worms such as the tapeworm and the trichinae, usually called trichinosis, and on and on. Although you have heard that cooking destroys all of these things, that is simply not so. And beside that, most women who get the diseases from swine get them from handling the uncooked meat before they cook it. That is quite simple and should not require a college education to know that someone has to handle the uncooked pig before he gets all cooked up into a tasty ham and on the table. And it is the butchers, of course, and the women or the girls of the family who must do that. They are the ones who then develop these diseases and usually never know where they got them. God said not even to touch their dead bodies, and yet in thousands of Christian homes, the women handle that dead pig. They get tapeworms, trichinosis, and all sorts of things from it. Then they cook it well done for the rest of the family and think they have protected everybody from the worms. Well, they may have protected their husband and children, but they forgot to protect themselves. They handled the uncooked meat. One doctor told me in Minnesota that the medical profession had estimated that as many as 20 million to 30 million Americans are infected with the parasite trichinosis. And as we show in this article you will receive in our packet, it is usually not fatal as such. Those millions of little parasites just eat out the strength of the body of the individual, and then in their weakened state they contract cancer, pneumonia, or something else. They die of the other disease, and their relatives bury them, never suspecting that the original cause of their death was that pork or ham they had been eating all of those years. The real cause, of course, was violation of God's law. Now, some of you folks may think Pastor Emery is kidding you, because after all, 99 ministers out of 100 will tell you that it is all right to eat pig, that we are not under the law, but we are under grace. Well, you go back and ask that minister, if your little 3-year-old Mary or your little 5-year-old Johnny is under law or under grace when he eats that raw pork wiener out of the refrigerator before it has been cooked. Ask him if that wiener came from a pig with tapeworms and trichinae. Does God then kill all those worms when a Christian touches the wiener and leave those worms alive if a non-Christian touches it? Or does God just strike all of those worms dead when you ask grace over the meal, or leave them alive if you don't pray over the ham? Let us not tempt God. When God tells us not even to touch the swine, why do we insist that we can do it with impunity? The pages of your newspaper itself tell you that thousands of people are dying right now because of diseases carried by swine. Your own doctor or butcher or even your minister will tell you not to eat raw pork. Well, let us be reasonable. Does God's grace kill the worms only by cooking? Does God's grace need 180 degree heat for 30 minutes before that grace will act and kill the trichinosis in ham? Well, you don't eat it cooked or raw until you have written to me and read my article on swine's flesh. I've not offered this over the radio for a long time. This so-called flu reminded me of it again. And I know we have tens of thousands of new listeners who may never have heard the truth about God's law on swine. So you write to me right now, ask for the March packet, and I'll send you the article on swine's flesh. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The March packet is free, and it will include a number of other articles, the major one being my Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. The one on swine's flesh is on your physical health. This one is on your economic health and the economic health of the nation. This shows how the violation of another of God's laws is bringing economic disaster to our whole society. The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer because we refuse to obey the simple righteous laws of God Almighty on economics. You can read this tract, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People, by writing to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the March packet. We will send your copies to you free and postpaid. Well, that is longer than I had intended to spend on that flu and pork thing, but as a minister of God, it is my duty to warn you of the cause of our troubles, and disease is certainly one of America's major troubles. Sick people are more common in America today than healthy ones. We try to fight it, we wonder why, but we refuse to look to the Bible, and the answers are there just waiting for us. All right, now for another portion of Jeremiah, a weeping prophet to a sinful nation. In this series, I compare Jeremiah's message to ancient Israel to the message America must hear. We are committing the same sins as ancient Judah, and we must hear the same word of God. America is not going to be saved by government committees, nor by her Yale and Harvard liberals who believe in an all-powerful communist-style government. Not even by her anti-communist organizations who warn us about communism. America is going to be saved by the Word of God. Jesus Christ's blood has sealed the promise of God to us. When will we claim them? Well, perhaps it won't be too long. Someday when we have had enough of man's ways and are in enough trouble. The continuation of this sermon on Jeremiah will begin about where we left off last week. They have done what Paul warned them not to do. They have turned to another gospel, to another Jesus, to another God. And I would say right here, this rapture doctrine that these people have held on to is one of those things. If the Bible does not teach that the Christians will be raptured from the earth, and yet people believe that their God is going to do that, then they are doing what? They are worshiping another God. They may call him Jesus Christ. They may take this Bible to their church. They may read verses from it. But if they believe their God is going to do something which the God of the Bible says he's not going to do, they are worshiping another God. Verse 25, withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. I know you've had this happen to you. I've had people write me letters and tell me, well, Pastor Emery, I like your preaching, but you're not going to take the rapture away from me. They even unconsciously will admit that it probably isn't true, but they're going to hold on to it. They have false doctrine, and they will not give it up. Verse 26, as the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. Quite a charge there. The thief is ashamed of what? Of getting caught. Not ashamed of what he's done. He's ashamed of getting caught. And God, in effect, is saying, that's what your people are like. They are not ashamed of what they've done, your kings, your princes, your priests, and your prophets. They're only ashamed if they get caught at it. And some of you have had the opportunity to know that
we have caught some of these preachers with their lies, and in private conversation they will admit that what they are preaching is a lie, and then they go right on preaching it. What's that mean? They're not ashamed of it like the thief. Once he's released, he's going to go back and steal again. And they go back to the people and lie again, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. You know, you can say all you want about the heathen, but God sure has Israel's number, doesn't he? They'll do all of these filthy, wicked things, but God says, I know when you get in trouble, you will turn to me. Now here's God's answer. You just think on this. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. It appears that in that ancient land of Judah, in the area around Jerusalem, they had a lot of different denominations there too, didn't they? He said, you have a God for every city in your land. I know when you get in trouble, I know when this enemy nation from the north comes against you, you are going to turn to me and ask me to save you. But I'm going to say to you, where are the gods you have made? Let them come and save you. And God only knows how many of the people who believe this unscriptural rapture doctrine, as these days of darkness and tribulation come upon us, are going to arrive at a point where they're going to be praying that God will come and save them from the tribulation and take them off to heaven as they thought their God was going to do. And God's going to say, what are you calling on me for? Why don't you call on the God you believed in? The one you trusted, the one you made for yourself. Verse 29, wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Now we've not come to the place in our nation and in our time where ministers and prophets are being put to death. But this did happen less than 3 centuries ago in Europe. It's not ancient history, it's recent history. And if the enemies of God's people Israel have their way, we may see that happening in this land again. And this is an accusation of ancient Israel here by God. He said, you've killed your own priests and prophets that I sent to you. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Here's God's command. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Now think with me just a moment here what Jeremiah has said so far. God has put the words in Jeremiah's heart and mind and mouth, and he's gone to them and he said, you are a people in transgression. Number two, I am going to raise up a strong enemy nation and send them against you to punish you for those transgressions. The transgressions being primarily worshiping other gods. And as I said, when we believe and teach doctrines which are not in this Bible, we have made other gods unto ourselves. This is what they had done. And then he said, when they come, you will say, arise and save us. And God's answer is, wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord, in verse 31. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. In other words, God is saying, I'm not going to come and save you. What I'm going to tell you to do is to hear my word. Now, I don't know what it's going to take. I know it's going to take more than preaching. I know some good preachers in the Kingdom Identity movement, and most of them agree with me that I don't care how much we preach and how many radio stations we go on and how good of preachers we try to be, we are not going to bring Israel to God until Israel is in so much trouble they're going to turn, and then God's going to say, all right, now maybe you listen to my word. And after all, that's all that Jeremiah was sent to the Judah kingdom to do, was to take God's word to the people. He warned them, of course, as in the very beginning, and he warned them in other places, of the Babylonian kingdom, the Chaldeans who were going to come against them. But he repeated over and over, hear ye the word of the Lord. And of course, that's our message today. And that's my message. And I guess as long as I mention the people who believed in the rapture, I better repeat to them that there's going to come a time when they're going to be praying for that rapture. And the only answer they're going to get is God is going to make a way for some preacher, and they'll hear that preacher saying, hear the word of the Lord. They're not going to go. They're going to stay right here and hear God's word. All right. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? In other words, has God been darkness to his people? No, this word is light. This word is a way of life. This word gives divine standards for living in righteousness and the blessings of God upon the earth. It's not a way of darkness. Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Yes, we remember everything else. You know, we carry on our lives. And if we can't remember things well for our daily lives or our work, our occupation or our family, we write it down so we're sure we get it done. But we forget God days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. And to some extent we have. We have even sent missionaries all over the world in the last generation to tell them the same false doctrines that we're teaching in our churches. Some of you know John Lance. He and his wife attended our church for some time. They're stationed over in Germany now. And in case you hadn't heard this story before, perhaps I should repeat it again. John was stationed in Japan for 3 years, and he was a young Baptist, very diligent in his church. And so while he was over there, he got in contact with the Baptist missionaries in the city he was in Japan. And many weekends he would go with them and be with them to help them conduct their services, and also to go out on the streets of that city and preach to the Japanese. And of course their main theme was that which the Baptists teach, that if you don't want to go to hell and burn forever in fire, then you'd better come and accept Christ and we'll baptize you and so on. And they tell it 100 different ways, but that's the general theme of their preaching. And John said that these Japanese would answer him, well, your God says that he's going to burn all of my ancestors in fire forever and ever, and all of my parents and my grandparents who died, well, they're going to be burned and tortured forever and ever. What do I want your God for? Well, my friends, this God being preached with that hellfire and burning in pain and torture forever and ever is not the God of the Bible. That is another God that they have made, and they've taken him over to the heathen. Well, some of the heathen believe them, some don't. But anyway, they have turned, or we have turned, and tried to go out and teach the wicked even of these false things. Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yes, we are guilty of innocent blood. And it is the false teaching of the clergy and the acceptance of their lies by the people that has resulted in hundreds of thousands of deaths in wars which we should never have fought, with disease, drugs, and immorality bringing destruction upon our people, our criminals on the loose. I talked to the chairman of a ministerial committee here in Phoenix one time about drugs. And I suggested to him that they follow God's law and whip the offender. He agreed with me that it would work, and he said, "We can't do that. We're not under the law. It would work, but we can't use God's law." They actually admit that God's law will work and then refuse to use it. And we now condone the murder of half of the babies conceived in America every year. Can you imagine that? One half of the pregnancies in the United States of America are terminated by the deliberate murder of the unborn child.
And I must cut in, our time is up. This is Pastor Emery. Write to me for your free March packet of literature. It has a number of items: that article on swine's flesh and the diseases our people get from eating pork, the article on the money system, billions for the bankers brings war, taxes, and debts to the people, and other articles about America and the Bible today. We have a tape ministry where you can subscribe to receive both church sermons and radio broadcasts on tape. Information on that will be sent with the packet. Also, our list of literature and our cassette tape catalog. The announcer will give my address in just a moment where you can write for the free March packet. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bible, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again: America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.